Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to First Bite, the Detroit Lions preview podcast for Pride of Detroit. PrideofDetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Facebook, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit right here on our Twitch page, twitch.tv/Pride of Detroit, if you want to watch us live break down Lions games either before or after they happen. We're doing mailbags, we're doing a whole bunch of fun stuff on our Twitch page, so make sure you head over there. But for now, we are previewing Week 10. It's Detroit Lions versus the Washington Football Team. Battle of 2 and 3 win teams. Boy, it's exciting, isn't it?
Catch the fever
of Detroit Lions football. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the managing editor over at PrideofDetroit.com. I am the co-host of First Bite, this preview podcast. To my virtual right, if you're watching live, is Ryan Matthews. You heard his voice earlier at Ryan_POD on Twitter. Ryan, have you caught the fever yet?
I have caught the fever. You know, we need to leave some instructions for Chris, or I guess I should say some directions. I think when you introduce me, we should pan all of the audio to the other side. So like
Chris Collinsworth audio version.
Perfect. Like you could be in their left ear and then like over in your right ear and then it could be me.
Ooh. I mean, that's a really good pitch for people to start listening on the podcast if they're watching live. It's just like that audio experience is pretty unique.
Second to none, second some to would say. Speaking of being second to none.
I don't even know how to do what's second to none. I feel like everyone's first to everybody or last to none. Last to everybody? I don't know.
Washington is second in the NFC East, so that's exciting.
There you go. You may notice we don't have a guest this week. I couldn't pull in a guy from Washington, unfortunately. By the deadline. So it's just going to be Ryan and I breaking things down, and we'll try to keep it from a Lions perspective so that you're engaged. You might have your own opinions, that sort of stuff. But let's start by breaking down Washington a little bit, talking about where they're at, and then we're going to get into like keys for the Lions to win, and then we're going to maybe do an entire segment on predictions. We're going to expand our one thing you think you know into one segment we think we know. Does that work?
Works for me.
All right. Well, let me introduce you to the 2-6 Washington football team, which is still going to take some getting used to saying. The big offseason moves was basically everything. They overhauled everything. They hired Ron Rivera, who's their acting GM as well. Scott Turner's their offensive coordinator. Jack Del Rio's their defensive coordinator. They've really taken on kind of a defensive minded identity, and they kind of always were. You know, they've been spending draft pick after draft pick after draft pick on that defensive line, and guess what? They did again this year, and I don't need to remind Lions fans of that. With the second overall pick, they obviously took Chase Young out from the Lions' grasp. But it's all kind of gone fairly well for them in the first year of a rebuild, because they were one of the worst defenses in the league last year. Now they're sixth by DVOA. And so you can look at their record all they want, and we're going to talk about their defense or their offensive issues. But defensively speaking, this team's not bad. And is that how you view it too, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Washington, I think just from an overview perspective, right? Like you're talking about, as you mentioned, they struggle on offense. Points for, they're 19.1 a game. That's 30th out of 32. Points against, though, 11th in the NFL. Yeah. At only 23.5. Not too bad. I mean, they do get to play the NFC East.
Yep.
So they have had a chance to play the likes of the Eagles and the Giants twice and the Cowboys. But I would say that's where you kind of want things to be trending, I think, with like a rebuilding franchise. like you mentioned, they've invested so much along that defensive front. I mean, it's been first round pick after first round pick after first round pick. And then they go out and they get a guy like Ron Rivera to be the head coach, right? They get a seasoned veteran coach to come in there. And I think it's a lot like, you know, not in terms of a rebuild in a sense, but because there are already pieces in Detroit when Jim Caldwell took over. But I think it's kind of like that same mentality of get the right guy in there, get a player's coach in there to kind of change the culture a little bit and to hopefully, you know, set this team up for success once they get their quarterback, once they get, you know, some of the more important positions figured out. I think Washington of, you know, any of the teams in the NFC East, I think they're doing things the right way in terms of how they're constructing their roster.
Yeah. And I mean, you also get a pretty darn good defensive coordinator in Jack Del Rio, a guy with head coaching experience. And God knows that team needed a full culture change as well. So, yeah, I do kind of like where they're headed. Obviously, where they are right now is more tantamount to this conversation. And they're not where they need to be, obviously. And I don't think anyone really expected them to be. And you also bring up a good point about their schedule. You know, they're 11th in points allowed, but they've played the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Browns, Rams, Giants, Cardinals. Like, there's not been a ton of elite offenses that they've played. I think their Cowboys game was after Dak got injured. So, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, asterisk in all their defensive stats. But at the same time, like, scoring is up in this league. Holding, let's say, I think they held the Ravens to 30-some points. That's not really that bad by today's margin, just because teams, I mean, I'm sure the Ravens are averaging more than that per year. So it'll be interesting to see what their defense looks like, how the Lions match up, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's switch over to the offense, because they obviously tried to make some big moves over there. They get Kyle Allen. He's injured. They go out and get Peyton Barber, J.D. McKissick. They draft Antonio Gibson. But you look at this roster and it's just like, where are the weapons? Where are the guys that are really going to scare you? And you got Terry McLaurin, and he's a great receiver. I think he's already a bona fide number one receiver on that team. But is there anyone else that's really you should be scared about? I don't. I'm looking at that roster, and all I'm seeing is a bunch of former Lions that were kind of okay.
Yeah. Are you including Cornelius Lucas in that?
No, but yeah,
he's their starting left tackle.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if he plays or not, because their starting left tackle was injured last week. He was limited in the first practice this week. Garon Christian Sr. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name. But yeah, Cornelius Lucas has played the last 2 weeks, and by PFF grade, he's actually been pretty good.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, you know, and I think with the offense specifically, there's a lot of change that needed to happen. And we kind of mentioned that with the coaching staff, right? So the coaching staff gets turned over. I mean, the team literally rebrands itself. And hopefully what they thought they could accomplish is kind of like wash away the problems that they were having on offense, in the sense that, you know, Trent Williams, you know, probably one of the, I mean, top five left tackles in all of football, just refused to play for him. And I mean, when you have that kind of situation going on in your hands, you know that there's a huge problem. There's a big problem, a systemic problem that really needed to be uprooted. So you lose a guy like that. I mean, they have some talent along their offensive line. Brandon Scherff is one of the top guards in the NFL. Yeah. As you mentioned already, Terry McLaurin, but they're lacking like depth, right? They're lacking depth at receiver. I mean, one of their other starting receivers is Dontrell Inman. Okay. Their starting running back going into the season was Peyton Barber. I mean, they drafted Antonio Gibson. They picked up J.D. McKissick. This is a team also that drafted Dwayne Haskins in the first round, thinking that, I don't know, maybe he's going to be our franchise quarterback. It's looking more and more likely that Dwayne Haskins is just not the franchise quarterback they envisioned back in 2019 when they took him in the first round. So I think a pick like that really sets your franchise back.
Oh yeah.
At least a couple years. Because when you draft Haskins, are you going to start him right away as a rookie? You know, that I don't, that didn't happen. You know, he eventually made his way in to the starting lineup after the gruesome Alex Smith injury, right?
Yep.
And so that year, that like year long maturation process happens, and then it's okay. Well, he had that first year. Now the sophomore year is his first true year.
Right.
Well, yikes. You know, I don't know if it has something to do with, you know, a shortened offseason with COVID. It's a new head coach. It's a new off. Like, I mean, that's really tough on a rookie quarterback. And I think that there's some people out there that still believe that if Haskins goes into a different situation, maybe there's different results. And like we said, the skill position players that are surrounding him, not the best that the league has to offer. So maybe they rebound from that this year. You know, if they stay on this like 2-6 record that they're on right now, I don't know if they'll be as bad to, you know, out bad the Jaguars or out bad the Jets and maybe get their franchise quarterback. But that's where you'd have to imagine their thought process is. Like, if we want to turn around this offense, like, we need our franchise quarterback. And it's pretty clear. I don't think that guy is Dwayne Haskins in Washington.
Yeah. But I mean, at this point, I feel like their offensive troubles run way deeper than just quarterback.
Sure.
We just got a donation, which set off our new alert. Thank you for the what was it, $10? Thank you, Indigo, for the $10 for our charity stream. If you're listening on the podcast, we are doing a Movember charity. Head over to our Twitch page for more information about that. But back to Washington's offense. I mean, you mentioned it, not a lot of offensive weapons. Terry McLaurin has almost 700 yards of receiving. The next closest is J.D. McKissick with 250. Next,
not
after
good.
That,
not good.
After that, Logan Thomas. So we're talking again, these former Detroit Lions that were just, I mean, Logan Thomas was fine in Detroit. He wasn't good, I wouldn't say. J.D. McKissick, I would say maybe good. I was a little surprised that the Lions moved on from him. But Antonio Gibson, who's didn't practice today, is their other one. Again, their third round pick running back. You mentioned Peyton Barber before. He fell out of favor already. He dropped all the way to third string after being the starter. So now they're going into this game with essentially J.D. McKissick maybe as their starting running back. Peyton Barber is his backup. Logan Thomas and Terry McLaurin as their top two receivers. Cam Sims. And you mentioned Dontrell Inman. He's also injured. So it's just like, if this Lions defense is going to finally turn it around, especially in the passing game, which I feel they've struggled more so than running game as of late, last week maybe excluded, this is the week they got to do it. And I haven't even mentioned pass protection's been an issue. Do you remember Alex Smith's first game this year when he came in? He got sacked six times. And so I think as good as Washington's defense is looking, their offense, as good as their defense is looking, their offense is worse than how good their defense is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I totally blanked on this, but Alex Smith didn't even play last year. I forgot he was out for the entire year. Been that long that he's been out. They went the whole Case Keenum route, and they tried to run that for a little bit. And you also don't want to forget, like, you know, some of the other picks that they've missed on, like Darius Geis. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a guy that they really thought they had something in, who dealt with injuries and then was eventually, you know, suspended and then released by Washington. But I'm in agreement with you, Jeremy. I think it's more than just like the skill position players. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going on with that Washington offense that can't be fixed overnight. And certainly probably can't even be fixed in one off season. So it'll be interesting. I think this week, I mean, it's the battle of, you know, it's the battle of ugly teams. And whose ugly units are going to shine the brightest?
I'm sorry. I'm a 5 year old. And you said ugly units and I couldn't stop laughing. All right, before we go into our first break here, let's talk quickly about the injury report for both teams, because as I mentioned, Kyle Allen definitely out of this game, suffered a horrific ankle injury. So you are indeed going to get your buddy your broken leg in spirit.
Yes.
Alex Smith playing in this game. The other notable ones, Dontrell Inman, as I mentioned, didn't practice with a hamstring. Antonio Gibson, I think, might be the biggest injury outside of Kyle Allen, their third round running back, who'd been getting more and more play both in the run game and in the pass game. And Matt Patricia spoke highly of him on Wednesday. For the Detroit, though, there's also a lot. Kenny Galladay still looks like he's probably not going to play in this game. Did not practice Wednesday. Everson Griffin is an interesting one. Did not practice, but not injury related. So that's something to keep an eye on. Those are always kind of weird. Haupuli Vaitai and Nick Williams were the other two that missed it. Vaitai, along with Tyrell Crosby, who was limited, and Joe Dahl, who was limited, kind of forced the Lions to maybe shuffle things yet again on the offensive line. Really quick, with Vaitai out, Crosby and Dahl limited today, what is your ideal lineup for Sunday on the offensive
line? I think my ideal offensive line doesn't include Vaitai. So, I think you run it Decker, Jonah Jackson, Frank Ragnow, and you hope that Dahl and Crosby can go to shore up that right side of the line. I think that's the best unit that they can roll out, even if Vaitai's healthy. I think if Vaitai's healthy, I don't really care for him at guard. I don't really care for him at tackle. He's really solidifying himself as a swing guy. Like, he's a guy that you want to use in case of emergency. And that was kind of my concern ever since the signing. So it's a bummer. I mean, maybe COVID offseason. I hate to keep using that as an excuse for everybody, because everybody's operating under the same, you know, constraints. But hopefully he can get things turned around, because the early returns on that investment aren't great.
Yeah, I mean, he's been battling this foot injury, I feel like, since week two or three, too. So that's a part of it. But I think even when he was healthy early in that season, it was just like, I don't know. I mean, there's questions around that signing from the minute the ink was dry. So, all right, that'll do it for the injury report. When we come back, we're going to get into some keys to this matchup, keys to victory for the Detroit Lions, and then get into a lot of predictions. So stick around on First Bite. We will be right back.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to First Bite. We're previewing Lions, Washington, week 10, 3-5, 2-6. That's five total wins. That's a lot of wins.
For Matt Patricia, it is.
That's the most he would have in a season almost. Anyways, let's get to this matchup. I want to talk about some keys to the game for the Lions to win this game. I'm going to start with mine first one because I want to get in here right away. Go with the most obvious one. Get it out of the way. Lions are going to have to stop the pass rush. It's no surprise. We talked about it already. Bunch of first rounders on this offense, on this defensive line for Washington. Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Chase Young. That's not even counting Ryan Kerrigan. That is a murderer's row of defensive linemen. Matthew Stafford said today it's the best defensive line in football, in his opinion, when it comes to the pass rush. They're up there. I think they're top five in sacks this year. Question is, we were just talking about it at the end of last break. The Lions might be having another makeshift offensive line this week. Do you think the Lions can manage this? I mean, they haven't really been a bad pass protecting team this year, but you know, when they went up against a really good defensive line like the Colts, things seem to fall apart pretty quickly. So how do you like the Lions' chances in this matchup?
I'm definitely concerned. I think that this is the biggest challenge that they're going to face. As you already mentioned, they're fourth in the NFL in sacks. They have 27 sacks. They have so much talent on that defensive line. And Chase Young has been, you know, every bit as advertised. I mean, he just came into the NFL and he's immediately a dude. And I think, like you said right there, Jeremy, the Lions clearly struggle against defensive fronts that can get a pass rush generated. And we've seen that, you know, in the Colts game. I think we saw that to a certain extent in the Bears game when, you know, Matthew Stafford made some pretty questionable decisions in terms of sacks he took, in terms of his time that he had to make passes. And I think that this is going to be the single matchup that the Lions need to win in order to win the game. If they can't protect Matthew Stafford, if they can't keep him upright, then it's going to be a really tough sledding for the Lions on Sunday.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the one thing I'll be interested to see is how aggressive Washington gets. They're a team that doesn't need necessarily to be aggressive to get pressure because they're so talented on that defensive line. But I feel like if it's just kind of like a four, you know, if they're just rushing four, I think the Lions have a chance. I really do think their pass protection in those situations have been pretty good. It's just when, Indy, I just keep going back to that Indy game because they rushed five a lot and it was just like the Lions had no answer for it. They were confused. There was miscommunications. If it's just let's butt heads and see who wins. I'm not saying the Lions win that outright, but I think they have a fighting chance. If the Washington even gets a little aggressive, though, you know, send a linebacker once every, you know, 10 pass rushes or so, it could be enough to create confusion. But I'm absolutely with you, Ryan. I think this is the most critical matchup in the entire game for the Detroit Lions because Matthew Stafford's on his back. Things aren't going to be well at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to consider, too, is that Washington is, I believe, they're eighth in interceptions in the league. They have eight, and that has to be a product of, again, you know, some of the teams that they played, but that defensive front. I mean, generating that pass rush, you're gonna get quarterbacks to make decisions that they are going to regret, and we saw that last week against Minnesota. I think Stafford made a couple of questionable decisions that ended up being interceptions, and they were really costly, and it's hard to say that those didn't change the outlook of the game because they absolutely did. They came in positions where Detroit was situated and ready to score, and Stafford just can't afford to do that again, and it's going to be really tough against the Washington front that is going to be absolutely relentless.
Yeah, you put it all together. Washington is first out of 32 in pass defense DVOA. And I think they also, you know, they have good corner, Kendall Fuller and Ronald Darby. You know, Darby didn't work out as well in Philly, but he's playing pretty well over there in Washington right now. And so you put it all together, a good pass rush, decent secondary, first in DVOA, brings me to my second key of the game. This is music to your ears, Matt Patricia. You got to run the ball. And you know me, if you've listened to the show enough, you know I hate running the ball. You know I'm begging, I'm pounding my fist on the table week after week to say, let Staff sling it, whatever you want to call, let Staff cook, whatever. This is the week Stafford can take a break. This is a week where the Lions can say, you know what, DeAndre Swift is our dude. Maybe even Kerryon Johnson is our dude. He looked good last week. Run the ball, guys. Washington's not, with as good as their defensive line is, they're not great against the run. They're consistently giving up over 100 yards, over 4 yards a carry, and part of that is because they're losing a lot of time and they're giving up a lot of yards. But in terms of yards per carry, they haven't been very good. I think they're 17th in DVOA in run defense. This is it, guys. This is your ideal game, Matt Patricia. This is the one on the schedule you should be drooling at because this is the matchup where you have to run the ball. It's going to take some heat off of Matthew Stafford, too. If you can run the ball successfully, then you get your play action going. Then maybe you get some extra pass protection because of that play action. I think this is the game plan where Matt Patricia can't screw it up.
But we know he will, right? We know he will because it's Adrian Peterson revenge game 2.0, second week in a row, baby.
No.
Load it up. Adrian Peterson. Inside zone. Here we go. No, but seriously, I agree with you, Jeremy. I think what the Lions need to do is not only run the ball a little bit more and lean a little bit more heavily on their guys like DeAndre Swift and Kerryon Johnson, but they need to play into that pass rush. Run some screens.
Sure.
Do some stuff out of the flats. You know, make I think what the Lions do have, and one of their advantages is they have a guy like Quintez Cephas. They have a guy like Marvin Jones. Those guys are pretty capable blockers. Like, get Swift out in space. Let him make plays. You know what I mean? Let Kerryon Johnson make plays. Just please don't target Adrian Peterson five times again so that I can see him catch a ball in the flats and then scramble and, you know, do everything he can to get a yard or two. Like, let the Lions skill position players do things on offense that are going to set them up for success. Jeremy, you already said it, but, you know, while Washington's giving up a lot of yards because, you know, teams are out ahead and they're just running the ball, they're still giving up 4.3 yards per carry. Yeah. So, I mean, it's something that the Lions can definitely take advantage of. Hopefully they have, you know, an offensive line that's healthy with, you know, hopefully Dahl is healthy. Hopefully Crosby's healthy. I think I'm all for utilizing the running backs a lot more this week than I would be normally.
Yeah. And why not throw TJ Hockenson in there? They've thrown a couple like middle screens to him, and I love that. I love that play. I love the middle screen. So yeah, if you can get, you know, catch Washington being a little over aggressive there, I think screen plays is a great idea this week. I think you nailed it. My third key to winning this game, and let's move it over to the Lions defense, even though this is a bad Washington offense, there is one aspect of it that really scares me, and we kind of touched on it earlier, and it's their use of running backs and linebackers in the pass game. And the reason this concerns me is because I watched the Detroit Lions defense last week. I watched Dalvin Cook catch a bunch of passes. I watched, was it Jared Cook who had the two? No, it was
Irv Smith Jr.
That's right. Smith Jr. had two touchdowns. And I watched Amir freaking Abdullah catch a touchdown against this defense. And you know why? Yeah, just poke twisting the knife there. And it's because the Lions don't have coverage in their linebacking core, and they don't have coverage in their safety core right now. Maybe Tracy Walker being back helps out. Tracy Walker versus JD McKissick. I think that's even enough where we could see Tracy Walker. I know he didn't look good in Indy. Gave up those two touchdowns in Indy. But this is a matchup that I think is one that Washington's going to rely on heavily. Like we said, really Terry McLaurin's their only threat on the outside. It's all those guys coming out of the backfield or the tight ends that worry me, because the Lions haven't shown that they have someone that can cover.
Yeah, and So that aspect worries me. Okay. Like let's get 11 guys on the field. Okay. Let's get 11 guys on the field.
Sure. Good start.
And yeah, that'll be a great start, I think, in order to counteract the opposing team's 11 men that they will have on the field, most assuredly. But the aspect of this game that really makes me nervous is Terry McLaurin. And I don't believe in the Lions pass rush. I don't. I think it's fool's gold. I think that what Romeo Okwara is able to do is really hit and miss. I mean, we'll see if he can sustain this. And I've kind of been talking about this ever since the Falcons game, but we'll see if he can keep up what he's been doing. Terry McLaurin gave Darius Slay fits last year. Like, Terry McLaurin is one of the best route runners in the NFL.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been much in the Lions secondary that's led me to believe that they can stick with a guy who can create separation like Terry McLaurin can with his route running. So that really makes me nervous. I mean, Amani Arorie, Jeff Okuda, Desmond Trufant, whoever is covering Terry McLaurin, and I know that they move him around all the time, they're going to have their hands full. And I just don't know. And I mean, Alex Smith is the perfect quarterback to make use of a guy like Terry McLaurin. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, every week I'm concerned that the linebackers are going to be able to cover somebody just because they're big hulking brutes and they don't fit in a modern NFL defense. So sure, maybe they'll be able to stuff up the run and the Lions will be able to establish the run and Matt Patricia will get a Matt Patricia win. But it's not looking good.
Yeah. A couple things. One, I want to take issue with one thing you said. You called the Lions pass rush fool's gold. I would say they're fool's bronze at best. To call them gold in any aspect, probably overstating a little bit. No Trey Flowers, obviously, again this week. He's still on IR, so and we'll wait and see what's going on with Everson Griffin. Not that he provided much spark last week. Anyways, and Terry McLaurin should scare the pants out of anybody. You'd hope that the Lions have some sort of plan for him. You know, they always say their biggest, you know, one of their biggest philosophies is take away the best player on the other team. I mean, you're going to have to bracket him somehow. And like you said, they move him all around. So it's not exactly easy to bracket a guy who's running all over the field. But the Lions have a pretty good safety in Daron Harmon, apparently a top two safety. He made PFF's All-Pro second team, which I hadn't realized how well he's playing. So I think you probably shade him wherever McLaurin is and just like make sure you don't get beat for 70 yard play and keep everything in front of him. And he can still make you pay with, you know, catches it 10 yards and runs for another 40, something like that. But yeah, McLaurin is a guy that they definitely have to take into account and really know where he is on every single play.
Yeah. Every single play.
All right, let's move to predictions. And I thought we might have a full segment devoted to predictions. Turns out we don't. So instead of the one thing we think we know, let's make it the two things we think we know. Little extra, since we didn't have our Washington expert this week. So Ryan, let's just start out with one thing you think you know. We'll get to another one after that. So what's the one thing you think you know?
One thing I think I know is that Matthew Stafford has at least one turnover this game.
Man, you're going to really start things off like that?
I mean, come on. We're looking at we talked about Washington's pass rush. We talked about how devastating it can be. And, you know, we even talked a little bit about how Washington has been able to force turnovers. And I think that what we've seen from Stafford over the past couple weeks is a lot of turnover worthy plays. And without Kenny Galladay, I think that the Lions are going to struggle on offense. They're going to struggle on offense a lot, especially against this Washington pass rush. So I got nine with at least one turnover in Sunday's game.
That makes me sad. I can't necessarily defend that, though, because, yeah, Stafford has made a lot of mistakes recently. And, you know, he'll be the first to tell you, and he knows that they're mistakes. But you're right. Like, the one thing I will say is I don't know how many of his mistakes have been because of pressure, though. You know, it feels like some of them are just kind of unforced errors almost to steal a tennis term. But I mean, it's not like he's going to be better with pressure. There aren't quarterbacks that are better with pressure. So, yeah, that could definitely force him into it.
And we know how prone Stafford is to fumbling the football, too. I mean, he puts the ball on the deck an awful lot. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. My one thing I think we know, and I mentioned it as one of my keys to the game, I think the Lions are going to run the ball at least 35 times in this game.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think they're going to have some success doing it. I think we saw last week the Lions were pretty good at it against a not a horrible Vikings defense, but an average one against the run. They're facing another average one this week. And I think they're, as long as they don't fall behind 13-0 in the first quarter, this team is going to run the crap out of the ball on Sunday. I don't know if that's going to be a season high for them. It's probably going to be somewhat close, but I think the Lions are now, I think they've built a little confidence in the running game after last week. And I think they're going to see how much of a mismatch it is in the passing game right now, especially without Kenny Galladay. They've got a decent set of backs and a offensive line that's not playing poorly. So it's all lined up for the Lions to do exactly what they want to do. I think they run the crap out of the ball, and I think they're somewhat successful at it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I would have to say that 35, excuse me, holy smokes, I got a your turnover in my
you're
throat.
You're salivating at the thought of them running it so much.
No, I hurt. That's not good. It's not good. Okay. I didn't like the sounds of what you were laying down. But I mean, yeah, 35 rushes has to be close to a season high, if not a season high for the Lions. So I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked for all the reasons that you already mentioned, Jeremy. I think Washington has shown that they are susceptible to a ground game, and that, you know, maybe even Matt Patricia's idea is that he wants to grind it out.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a game that I could easily see being 13-7.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or 19-10.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be a grinded out game. So who knows? With that being said, the one thing I think I know is that this game's definitely going to hit the under. And with that being said, it's probably going to be a 30-35 shootout. I don't know, whatever. But everything seems like it's setting up for this to be like Punt Fest 2020. Like, yeah. I truly think that Jack Fox is going to be on full display. hopefully Aqib Talib has really nice things to say about him in his broadcasting debut.
There you go.
But yeah, you know what? I'm going to change it. The other thing I think I know is that Jack Fox is going to have at least 5 punts.
Do you know what the over-under is for this game? I was curious. I was trying to look it up. I couldn't find it.
I don't. But I know it's going to be under.
You're just that confident that it's going to be the under.
Yeah, it's going to be. Let me guess what I think the under is going to be. And then you tell me what the under is going to be. I would venture to guess that the over under is 45.5.
It's 46.5.
No. Oh, not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. You must have gotten some help from your friend over there.
We are, on the same wavelength.
All right. And the second thing I think I know, let's see, I missed last week on who did I say was going to, did I say Hockenson or no, I said Hockenson. Marvin Jones was going to, Marvin Jones was going to have a big game and he did not.
Oh yeah. Cause he always has big games against the Vikings.
Right. the one thing I think I know, actually, let's flip it over to defense. I think Jeff Okuda gets an interception in this game.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a little overdue at this point. The Lions haven't forced, I think they forced one turnover in the past 3 games. This offensive line isn't good. So while I'm with you that I don't think that the Lions pass rush is very good, this is a good opportunity for them. Washington doesn't have a good set of receivers. Hopefully he's not on Terry McLaurin all day because I don't like that matchup at all. But against anyone else, I think he's got a shot. So let's go a little bold here and let's say Jeff Okuda picks up his second interception of the season, first in a while.
That would be nice. That would be 2 more interceptions than his comparison on Twitter I saw today was Tease Tabor 2.0.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely Tease Tabor after 8 games. Jesus Christ, people, give it a break.
Why didn't we draft Tua? Why didn't we draft Justin Herbert?
You know what? Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow when we drop our mailbag episode. And if you have any questions, hashtag AskPOD on Twitter. We are going to record a mailbag episode Thursday night here on Twitch, 7 p.m. Eastern-ish. That'll drop on the podcast feed around Friday morning. But for now, that is First Bite. Thank you for joining us. Good luck to the Detroit Lions on Sunday, unless you're rooting for them to lose so that either they get a better draft pick or Matt Patricia gets fired. Whatever is your prerogative. I'm not going to tell you how to root for this team. But for now, thank you for joining us. Be sure to stick around. If you're here on Twitch, we'll answer some of your questions. But for now, chaos, be kind.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.